Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I think it's campers. I think it's every morning when he turns on the radio, he says, buckle up, campers. This could be a cold one out there. Blah, 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 blah. All right, guys. Thank you. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Talk about the black and gold. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I can confirm it is cold outside. I just walked the dog. It's colder than it is in Tennessee. That's what I'll tell you.
We just talked to Dara Leader, who is Charlie Smith's coach, who helped him get into the NFL. He told me, and I asked him this direct question about an 80-yarder. I said, "Is that beyond belief?" He said, "No, I don't think it is." And I'm just thinking about the potential that could have. And I understand, look, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I know. But you realize after a free, if you make a fair catch, game-ending situation, right? After a fair catch, you get a free kick. So you can run up. You can take 8 steps if you want to run up to it. That Charlie Smith could prove to be a valuable weapon for the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the make percentage would be on an 80-yard free kick, but no, I mean, a couple weeks ago...
Are you talking about analytics or miracles, young man? This is holiday season here.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, a couple weeks ago, they were ready to let him try a 66-yard game winner if it came down to that. I think they ran a draw to try to make it into a 62-yarder. So, I mean, it's definitely I think he can make a 70-yarder. I think at some point we're going to see him kind of push that record. I think that's what it is right now, is either 68 or 69. But, no, I mean, he's, he needs – it's funny because you talk about the kicker, you talk about, wow, he has this monster leg. But at the end of the day, it's the missed 43-yarders that are going to that he needs to figure out before anything else. But, no, I mean, the leg strength he has is remarkable. He kicks the ball really high, which I don't know. I mean, I think it's a benefit in the sense that I think he has a little bit more control over the ball when he kicks it like that. Mm-hmm. But, we look at a game like we had in Tennessee and there's some wind. And, when the ball gets up that high, I think he had some variables in the wind in terms of how much it can affect the ball. He kind of has this like high draw, almost like a golfer. Mm-hmm. When you kind of see it go up in the air, and you almost want to see that like ball tracker like they have when you're watching the PGA. Mm-hmm. As you can just see it kind of go up and then start to creep left. Like he had a 57-yarder that he kind of started outside, like well outside the right goalpost, and it was like, oh, it's going to come back. And sure enough, it did. But no, I'm looking forward to see how he develops. I mean, but again, at the end of the day for him, it's going to be about, can you be consistent from 45 and in.
But philosophically, riddle me this. At what point are you willing to maybe trade off an occasional 43-yard miss, knowing you got that weapon that can hit from putting the ball on the field at, on a logo? You know what I mean? The middle of the field on a logo.
Well, it definitely helps. It definitely helps, but those have to be sure points, you know. So he's got to do both, right? And I think the fact that he's the kicker right now is telling you that they're willing to trade that off a little bit. But there is a limit, right? Like, you need to know you're sending him out there and he's going to knock it through. And he has been consistent. There's just been a couple misses. I think he's a little more inconsistent from the left hash mark than the right hash mark, and I think it has to do with his kicking style in terms of the shape of the ball. Because, you know, it's just he's relying on that draw, and I think when you have to start it, he struggles with the start point sometimes. But no, I really like Charlie. I think he's got a good mindset. He works really hard, and I think over time that leg strength is going to pay off. And I mean, in that game alone, those 250 yarders, like, those are not guaranteed kicks, although it seems more and more like they are in today's NFL.
Of course, a lot more involved in kicking. Let's talk about Sunday's game. I'm going to tell you what, to me, Audric Estime has shown me more this season, and I know, you know, memory's a short thing, but more than anybody other than AK really so far in terms of the way he runs. I know, you know, the other two guys were banged up and nicked up and so forth coming off injuries. Your thoughts on Audric Estime?
Well, I will not stand for this Devin Neal erasure, because I think Devin Neal was actually playing pretty well over the few games that he had a chance to play. But no, I like Audric. I was, you know, over the last few weeks, I was kind of puzzled at why the Saints seemed hesitant to give him a bigger role. I mean, because it seems like every time he touches the ball, he's one of those running backs that it's like he might turn a 10-yard he might turn a 10-yard run into a 5-yard run, but he'll also turn a 1-yard run into a 5-yard run, right? Like, I remember Edgerrin James was like that. And there's value there, right? Because too much of this season, you've seen the Saints operating in 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 11. That's a tough place to be as an NFL offense, because it really limits what you're able to do. You know, they talk a lot about mixed down football, right? What does that mean? It's a down where on offense you could feasibly run the ball, pass the ball, and the defense has to decide what they're going to try to defend. And that makes you a lot more difficult to handle as an offensive unit. And that's just what you've seen, is a guy who's just consistently picking up chunks on the ground. You know, I did have it tracked of like all the runs he had in the second half, and it was just kind of like +3, +4, +9, +12, +4. I think he had 9 carries before he was stopped for no gain. And you know, it's not, you're not ripping off 20, 25 yard chunk plays on the ground. He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not Bijan Robinson, who's got a 93-yard touchdown run last night. You know, he's getting run down before that. But just kind of those body blows, they help an offense operate, right? And you're putting the quarterback in 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 10, and that's helpful. And no, he's got this kind of really stocky build. You know, I've been trying to figure out which running back he reminds me of, like which former Saints running back he reminds me of, and I don't know, maybe like a Chris Ivory or somebody like that. But no, he's got a good head on his shoulders. You know, he got cut from the Broncos last year. He was a 5th-round pick. And so, I mean, that's tough for a player, you know. You have to find your way. You land on a practice squad. You work your way up. So, no, it's cool to see stuff like that. And I think the Saints have really been, you know, and I asked Kellen Moore about this yesterday. They've been, since AK went down and you lost Kendre Miller, it's really been kind of a hot hand scenario. Like, they don't go into a game saying this guy's going to get 12 carries or 14 carries. But, you know, you get into the second half of that game and he's starting to rip off these runs, and suddenly he's the lead back. Last week it was Taysom who was really making his way on the ground, and you gave him the ball. When Devin Neal was healthy, he was the guy who, you know, kind of proved he deserved that. I'm interested to see what he can do in this final game, because, you know, for a guy like Audric, like, that's the type of game that kind of extends your career, right? Like, you put that tape out there, that doesn't go away. And whether he's back with the Saints next year or on another roster, you know, that's the game that that teams are going to look at and be like, oh, well, maybe we give this guy a shot. So it's pretty cool for him.
Talk about Juwan Johnson. He's impressed me.
Yeah, Juwan is a polarizing figure at times with the Saints fans, in the sense that he just seems to have drops in inopportune situations, or at least he did early in the season. And I don't even know if you call it drops. It's just situations where he can go up and make a play, and maybe the defender makes a play on the ball, and you're like, okay, could you have caught that? Probably, but he's really kind of sorted that out over the second half of the season. I think that's done wonders for this offense. I think if over his last four games, he's caught 20 of 21 targets. It's like a 98% catch rate, which is pretty elite. I think the only miss was just a throw kind of over his head that wasn't really a drop. So, no, I mean, he's become kind of, you know, and Tyler described it this way, like a big play threat combined with a security blanket. Of like, you throw him the ball, you know he's going to catch it. You know he's going to do something positive. He's a big target over the middle of the field. He can put the ball, you know, up high and he can go get it. And, no, I mean, that's important, especially now with the Saints kind of lacking weapons, right? You know, you're down to, you know, Kevin Austin is your wide receiver too. Foster Moreau is on injured reserve. You're looking at Maliki Matavau as a key tight end for you. Even Jack Stoll got hurt. He's probably out for the year. So, no, he's been an important piece. And, you know, the Saints bet big on him this offseason. They signed him to a, you know, three-year, $33 million contract, which is, you know, top 10 range, right outside the top 10. And my take at the time was, like, I don't mind the contract as long as he gets the usage of a top 10 tight end. Because to this point in his career, his most targets he's had in a season was 66. And, like, that's not the usage you expect for a guy who's making $10 million a year. Well, you know, this year he set career highs in catches, targets, yards. You know, I'd like to see him get into the end zone a few more times. He only has three touchdowns. But that's, you know, that's more circumstantial, I think, than anything else. Chris Olave's caught most of the touchdowns, and that's something you like to see as well. But no, I think all these the two big contracts the Saints signed this offseason were Chase Young and Juwan Johnson. And, you know, other than the five games at the beginning of the season where Chase was dealing with that calf injury, I think they're very happy with how those contracts have turned out.
Tell me about Tyler and his development, because I'm going to tell you what, man, we got us a quarterback, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, It's interesting with Tyler because he still hasn't played in one of these kind of premier matchups. So I am kind of pumping the brakes a little until I see him go into a meaningful game and deliver. Mm-hmm. But what I think people are responding to is just that he's playing the quarterback position the right way. You know, I think when you see young players, young quarterbacks get in there, and we saw it with Cam Ward, and I thought Cam had a really nice game last week, but you know, you're as a quarterback, it can't all be kind of second phase play. It can't all be, hey, I'm going to extend, and then hopefully someone can get open. Like, mm-hmm. That's not running the offense. That's just being an athlete and finding a way. You know, and a guy like Pat Mahomes has made a career out of doing that. But, you know, that's a weapon for you, but cannot be all you are. And knowing when to use that and when it just makes sense to run the offense and get the ball out of your hand is important for a quarterback in terms of, you know, how long are you going to be a quarterback in the NFL? How mm-hmm. successful can you be? Like, you look at Chase Young's play, Chase Young's strip sack. Why does that happen? Well, Cam Ward's trying to extend a play. Mm-hmm. He forgets where Chase Young is and runs right into him. And suddenly it's, you know, a 30-yard strip sack for a touchdown in a game that the Titans were in control of. They were up 13-3 at that point driving the ball. And suddenly it's a 3-point game because of no one's fault but the quarterback, right? So, you know, it is interesting, and you haven't seen him make those type of kind of young player mistakes. Maybe it's because he's an older rookie. He's had a lot more time in the oven. Kellen.
Along those lines, what were you talking about with being tested or a big game or a big showdown? Like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, just in the sense that the last two games, the 300-yard passing games came against the Jets and the Titans, two teams that have combined for, what, five wins this year?
I got you.
You know, obviously the wins over the Bucs and the Panthers are important. Like, those division games are important, and I think this Week 18 game is going to be important for him. But, you know, you still haven't seen him deliver in a game against, I don't know, like the 49ers or whatever, the Rams, well, one of these top-tier teams, and that's, you know, ultimately where you're going to be evaluated as a quarterback. How do you show up in those big time matchups, right? Like, Matt Stafford was probably an MVP candidate, and then he needed to go win a game last night, and I don't know, that probably goes away. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, and that's not me being down on Tyler. I think it's just, hey, like, there's a lot more to do. You know, you can say we feel like you have a quarterback, but there's still so much left ahead of him, and hopefully this next season, it's not Tyler's fault that he got into the game when we were already 2-7 or 1-8, whatever it was. That's just the reality, and I think that benefited his development, took a little of the pressure off. But
yeah, and I think that it benefits him because he is not playing the Rams, or he's not playing Philadelphia or whomever, pick a team, or Denver. I think that's going to help in his development for next season when he does perhaps play those teams. We're going to take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Jeff, Cam Little holds the record 68-yard field goal, but he did hit a 70-yarder in preseason, but it didn't count because it was preseason. So there you go. Cam Little with Jacksonville, 922. We'll take a break. Come back with Jeff Nowak here on WWL. With Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, you got one more chance come Sunday. Turn down the TV and turn up Jeff and Deuce and Mike Hosh. You're going to enjoy the game a whole lot more, I'll tell you that. Jeff, when it comes to the NFC South, tell me what the breakdown is here for Atlanta and who wins what if we win.
Yeah, so it's the Falcons have did their part of the job and made it interesting, and we'll see. You know, if it comes down to it on Sunday, because basically what's happening is the Bucs and Panthers, the Bucs are 7-8, the Panthers are 8-7. Is that right? Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. The Bucs are 7-9, the Panthers are 8-8. And so basically it's a winner take all matchup, except it's not. So if the Panthers win, then they win the division at 9-8. If the Bucs win, then they are in position to win the division. Based on what happens in the Falcons-Saints game, because the Falcons beat the Rams last night, it was a great game. And so if the Falcons also finish at 8-9, which if the Bucs beat the Panthers and the Falcons beat the Saints, then all three teams would be 8-9. And then even if the Bucs win, the Panthers would still win the NFC South. So if the Bucs beat the Panthers on Saturday, the winner of the Saints-Falcons game on Sunday.
Begin that last sentence again.
If the Bucs beat the Panthers on Saturday,
right,
that would mean that the winner of the Saints-Falcons game would determine the NFC South, and it would mean if the Falcons beat the Saints, the Panthers win the division. If the Saints beat the Falcons, the Bucs win the division.
That's if the Buccaneers beat the Panthers on Saturday.
Yeah, if the Panthers beat the Bucs, then the Saints-Falcons game has no impact on the NFC South, and the Bucs have lost 7 of their last 8 games, which is wild. Yeah. So that may be a bridge too far to hope that the Bucs win a game. They lost to the Quinn Ewers-led Dolphins last week. But it would be kind of fun if it came down to it on Sunday and the Saints and the Falcons were having this kind of proxy war to decide who won the NFC South. It would put some eyeballs on that game at the very least, and that would probably be helpful for Tyler Shuck in terms of, I think Tyler Shuck should win the Rookie of the Year award. Mm-hmm. And you know, finishing the season off with a win over the Falcons, a team that's playing well, they beat the Rams last night, who a lot of people think are a Super Bowl contender, would probably go a long way in that. And it would be cool to get some eyeballs on that game because, you know, Saints Falcons is always fun. It's going to be two teams who are playing hard. The Falcons don't have a first round pick, so there's not going to be any thought of tanking. Mm-hmm. The Saints have no interest in tanking for a better pick. So that'll be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it.
But then you look at the standings in the NFC South. And the Saints, if they win, they finish 7-10. It's hard not to be optimistic heading into next year, right?
I mean, there's a scenario where every team in the NFC South has either 7 or 8 wins. Mm-hmm. Think about that. You know, because if the Bucs beat the Panthers, both teams will be 8-9. If the Saints beat the Falcons, both teams will be 7-10. So, you know, those are the games you need to win, too. I mean, like, say what you want about a fourth-place schedule versus second-place schedule, which is, you know, that would obviously be a difference maker in terms of, you know, how difficult the schedule is next year. But at the end of the day, when you play in the NFC South, you got to beat the teams in the NFC South. And beating the Falcons, not getting swept by the Falcons, means a lot more to me than maybe picking 8th instead of 10th at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So
when it comes to the Saints next year, and addressing – well, no, let me take a step back because I wanted to ask you the Kellen Moore question first. I was looking at the clock. Compare Kellen Moore today and what you saw Sunday to the Kellen Moore in week one against the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, I think – I don't know what the difference is in the sense that I think one of his best qualities is that he is consistent, is that you don't get these highs and lows. Mm-hmm. You know, his messaging stays very consistent. He's a believable guy. He's not playing a character, and I think that's really resonated throughout the course of this season. So I don't know. I don't know what I could point to and say, oh, he's very different here than he was here. I think he's a little bit more comfortable, which is just kind of natural. And if anyone who's taken a new job, that first kind of 6 months, you're kind of finding your way. I think that's probably part of it, is he's just a little bit more comfortable in his skin than he was at the beginning of the year. But from a coaching perspective, I don't know how much has changed. I think he's taken the reins off the offense a little bit and kind of handed the keys to Tyler Shuck and said, I trust you. Like, let's do what we need to do. And the offense has opened up a little bit. But, I mean, beyond that, I don't know exactly how different he is as a coach. And I think that alone is a positive, because you don't want a head coach that's hot and cold, that's, right, you know, that's a different person when you're winning than you are when you're losing. And I don't think we've seen that. And I think, I say that as a very positive thing about the guy.
It seems like the team's definitely buying in. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, 100%. And I said this when they were 2-8, right? Like, that's one of the most telling things about this group is, you know, they're all bought in. They're all saying, hey, we're doing things the right way. We believe in our mm-hmm. process, and it's going to come. And I think that's what has made this winning streak so gratifying and satisfying to watch, is that, you know, I believe you now, because the results showed it. You know, until the results come, it's really hard to take that seriously. But, you know, like, that's the proof is in the pudding.
Surrender the results to the process, right?
Right.
All right, Jeff. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You think they win Sunday?
It's good. You know, after watching the Falcons last night, I'm not so sure, but it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, like I said, you know, Tyler hasn't had a ton of real tests to this stage. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of them.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
You as well. Thanks.
Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. We're going to come back, talk about fire safety. It's 9:36. Traffic, WWL. I think it's campers. I think it's every morning when he turns on the radio, he says, buckle up, campers, this could be a cold one out there, blah, 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 blah. All right, guys, thank you. Jeff Nowak joins us now, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Talk about the black and gold. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I can confirm it is cold outside. I just walked the dog. It's colder than it is in Tennessee, that's what I'll tell you.
We just talked to Dara Leader, who is Charlie Smith's coach, who helped him get into the NFL. He told me, and I asked him this direct question, about an 80-yarder. And I said, is that beyond belief? He said, no, I don't think it is. And I'm just thinking about the potential that could have. And I understand, look, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I know. But you realize after if you make a fair catch, game-ending situation, right? After a fair catch, you get a free kick. So you can run up. You can take 8 steps if you want to run up to it. That Charlie Smith could prove to be a valuable weapon for the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the make percentage would be on an 80-yard free kick, but no, I mean, a couple weeks ago,
are you talking about analytics or miracles, young man? This is holiday season here.
that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, a couple weeks ago, they were ready to let him try a 66-yard game winner mm-hmm. if it came down to that. I think they ran a draw to try to make it into a 62-yarder. So, I mean, it's definitely I think he can make a 70-yarder. I think at some point we're going to see him kind of push that record. I think that's what it is right now, is either 68 or 69. But, no, I mean, he's, he needs – it's funny because you talk about the kicker, you talk about, wow, he has this monster leg. But at the end of the day, it's the missed 43-yarders that are going to that he needs to figure out before anything else. But, no, I mean, the leg strength he has is remarkable. He kicks the ball really high, which I don't know. I mean, I think it's a benefit in the sense that I think he has a little bit more control over the ball when he kicks it like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we look at a game like we had in Tennessee and there's some wind. And, you know, when the ball gets up that high, I think he had some variables in the wind in terms of how much it can affect the ball. He kind of has this like high draw, almost like a golfer mm-hmm. when you kind of see it go up in the air. And you almost want to see that like ball tracker like they have when you're watching the PGA. Mm-hmm. Because you can just see it kind of go up and then start to creep left. Like he had a 57-yarder that he kind of started outside, like well outside the right goalpost, and it was like, oh, it's going to come back. And sure enough, it did. But no, I'm looking forward to see how he develops. I mean, but again, at the end of the day, for him, it's going to be about, can you be consistent from 45 and in.
But philosophically, riddle me this. At what point are you willing to maybe trade off an occasional 43-yard miss, knowing you got that weapon that can hit from putting a ball on the field on a logo? You know what I mean? The middle of the field on a logo.
Well, it definitely helps. It definitely helps, but those have to be sure points, you know? So he's got to do both, right? And I think the fact that he's the kicker right now is telling you that they're willing to trade that off a little bit. But there is a limit, right? Like, you need to know you're sending him out there and he's going to knock it through. And he has been consistent. There's just been a couple misses. I think he's a little more inconsistent from the left hash mark than the right hash mark. And I think it has to do with his kicking style in terms of the shape of the ball. Because, you know, it's just he's relying on that draw. And I think when you have to start it, he struggles with the start point sometimes. But, no, I really like Charlie. I think he's got a good mindset. He works really hard. And I think, you know, over time, that leg strength is going to pay off. And I mean, in that game alone, those two 50 yarders, like, those are not guaranteed kicks, although it seems more and more like they are in today's NFL.
Of course, a lot more involved in kicking. Let's talk about Sunday's game. I'm going to tell you what, to me, Audric Estime has shown me more this season. And I know, you know, memory's a short thing, but more than anybody other than AK really so far in terms of the way he runs. I know, you know, the other two guys were banged up and nicked up and so forth coming off injuries. Your thoughts on Audric Estime?
Well, I will not stand for this Devin Neal erasure, because I think Devin Neal was actually playing pretty well over the few games that he had a chance to play. But no, I like Audric. I was, you know, over the last few weeks, I was kind of puzzled at why the Saints seemed hesitant to get him a bigger role. I mean, because it seems like every time he touches the ball, he's one of those running backs that it's like he might turn a 10-yard run into a 5-yard run, but he'll also turn a 1-yard run into a 5-yard run, right? Like, I remember Edrin James was like that. And there's value there, right? Because too much of this season, you've seen the Saints operating in 2nd and 10 or 2nd and 11. That's a tough place to be as an NFL offense, because it really limits what you're able to do. You know, they talk a lot about mixed down football, right? What does that mean? It's a down where on offense you could feasibly run the ball, pass the ball, and the defense has to decide what they're going to try to defend. And that makes you a lot more difficult to handle as an offensive unit. And that's just what you've seen, is a guy who's just consistently picking up chunks on the ground. You know, I did have it tracked of, like, all the runs he had in the second half, and it was just kind of like +3, +4, +9, +12, +4. I think he had 9 carries before he was stopped for no gain. And, you know, it's not you're not ripping off 20, 25-yard chunk plays on the ground. He's not Christian McCaffrey. He's not Bijan Robinson, who's got a 93-yard touchdown run last night. You know, he's getting run down before that. But just kind of those body blows, they help an offense operate, right? And you're putting the quarterback in 2nd and 7 instead of 2nd and 10, and that's helpful. And no, he's got this kind of really stocky build. You know, I've been trying to figure out which running back he reminds me of, like which former Saints running back he reminds me of, and I don't know, maybe like a Chris Ivory or somebody like that. But no, he's got a good head on his shoulders. You know, he got cut from the Broncos last year. He was a 5th-round pick. And so, I mean, that's tough for a player. You know, you have to find your way. You land on a practice squad, you work your way up. It's cool to see stuff like that. And I think the Saints have really been, you know, and I asked Kellen Moore about this yesterday. They've been, since AK went down and you lost Kendre Miller, it's really been kind of a hot hand scenario. Like, they don't go into a game saying this guy's going to get 12 carries or 14 carries. But, you know, you get into the second half of that game and he's starting to rip off these runs, and suddenly he's the lead back. Last week it was Taysom who was really making his way on the ground, and you gave him the ball. When Devin Neal was healthy, he was the guy who, you know, kind of proved he deserved that. I'm interested to see what he can do in this final game, because, you know, for a guy like Audric, like, that's the type of game that kind of extends your career, right? Like, you put that tape out there, that doesn't go away. And whether he's back with the Saints next year or on another roster, you know, that's the game that teams are going to look at and be like, oh, well, maybe we give this guy a shot. So it's pretty cool for him.
Talk about Juwan Johnson. He's impressed me.
Yeah, Juwan is a polarizing figure at times with the Saints fans, in the sense that he just seems to have drops in inopportune situations, or at least he did early in the season. And I don't even know if you call it drops. It's just situations where he can go up and make a play, and maybe the defender makes a play on the ball, and you're like, okay, could you have caught that? Probably, but he's really kind of sorted that out over the second half of the season. I think that's done wonders for this offense. I think if over his last four games, he's caught 20 of 21 targets. It's like a 98% catch rate, which is pretty elite. I think the only miss was just a throw kind of over his head that wasn't really a drop. So, no, I mean, he's become kind of, you know, and Tyler described it this way, like a big play threat combined with a security blanket of, like, you throw him the ball, you know he's going to catch it, you know he's going to do something positive. He's a big target over the middle of the field. He can put the ball, you know, up high and he can go get it. And, no, I mean, that's important, especially now with the Saints kind of lacking weapons, right? You know, you're down to, you know, Kevin Austin is your wide receiver too. Foster Moreau is on injured reserve. You're looking at Malik Imadovao as a key tight end for you. Even Jack Stoll got hurt. He's probably out for the year. So, no, he's been an important piece. And, you know, the Saints bet big on him this offseason. They signed him to a, you know, three-year, $33 million contract, which is, you know, top 10 range, right outside the top 10. And my take at the time was, like, I don't mind the contract as long as he gets the usage of a top 10 tight end. Because to this point in his career, his most targets he's had in a season was 66. And, like, that's not the usage you expect for a guy who's making $10 million a year. Well, you know, this year he set career highs in catches, targets, yards. You know, I'd like to see him get into the end zone a few more times. He only has three touchdowns. But that's, you know, that's more circumstantial, I think, than anything else. Chris Olave's caught most of the touchdowns, and that's something you like to see as well. But, no, I think all these the two big contracts the Saints signed this offseason were Chase Young and Juwan Johnson. And, you know, other than the five games at the beginning of the season where Chase was dealing with that calf injury, I think they're very happy with how those contracts have turned out.
Tell me about Tyler and his...
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Development, because I'm going to tell you what, man, we got us a quarterback, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, it's interesting with Tyler because he still hasn't played in one of these kind of premier matchups, so I am kind of pumping the brakes a little until I see him go into a meaningful game and deliver. Mm-hmm. But what I think people are responding to is just that he's playing the quarterback position the right way. You know, I think when you see young players, young quarterbacks get in there, and we saw it with Cam Ward, and I thought Cam had a really nice game last week, but you know, you're as a quarterback, it can't all be kind of second phase play. It can't all be, hey, I'm going to extend, and then hopefully someone can get open. Like, mm-hmm. That's not running the offense. That's just being an athlete and finding a way. You know, and a guy like Pat Mahomes has made a career out of doing that. But you know, that's a weapon for you, but cannot be all you are. And knowing when to use that and when it just makes sense to run the offense and get the ball out of your hand is important for a quarterback in terms of, you know, how long are you going to be a quarterback in the NFL? How mm-hmm. successful can you be? Like, you look at Chase Young's play, Chase Young's strip sack. Why does that happen? Well, Cam Ward's trying to extend a play. Mm-hmm. He forgets where Chase Young is and runs right into him, and suddenly it's, you know, a 30-yard strip sack for a touchdown in a game that the Titans were in control of. They were up 13-3 at that point driving the ball, and suddenly it's a three-point game because of no one's fault but the quarterback, right? So, you know, it is interesting, and you haven't seen him make those type of kind of young player mistakes. Maybe it's because he's an older rookie. He's had a lot more time in the oven.
Along those lines, what were you talking about with being tested or a big game or a big showdown? Like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, just in the sense that the last two games, the 300-yard passing games came against the Jets and the Titans, two teams that have combined for, what, 5 wins this year?
I got you.
You know, obviously the wins over the Bucs and the Panthers are important. Like, those division games are important, and I think this Week 18 game is going to be important for him. But, you know, you still haven't seen him deliver in a game against, I don't know, like the 49ers or whatever, the Rams, well, one of these top-tier teams, and that's, you know, ultimately where you're going to be evaluated as a quarterback. How do you show up in those big time matchups, right? Like, Matt Stafford was probably an MVP candidate, and then he needed to go win a game last night, and I don't know, that probably goes away. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, and that's not me being down on Tyler. I think it's just, hey, like, there's a lot more to do. You know, you can say we feel like you have a quarterback, but there's still so much left ahead of him, and hopefully this next season. It's not Tyler's fault that he got into the game when they were already 2-7 or 1-8, whatever it was. That's just the reality, and I think that benefited his development, took a little of the pressure off. But
yeah, and I think that it benefits him because he is not playing the Rams, or he's not playing Philadelphia or whomever, pick a team, or Denver. I think that's going to help in his development for next season when he does perhaps play those teams. We're going to take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Jeff, Cam Little holds the record 68-yard field goal, but he did hit a 70-yarder in preseason, but it didn't count because it was preseason. So there you go. Cam Little with Jacksonville, 922. We'll take a break. Come back with Jeff Nowak here on WWL. With Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, you got one more chance come Sunday. Turn down the TV and turn up Jeff and Deuce and Mike Hosh. You're going to enjoy the game a whole lot more, I'll tell you that. Jeff, when it comes to the NFC South, tell me what the breakdown is here for Atlanta and who wins what if we won.
Yeah, so the Falcons have did their part of the job and made it interesting, and we'll see. You know, if it comes down to it on Sunday, because basically what's happening is the Bucs and Panthers, the Bucs are 7-8, the Panthers are 8-7. Is that right? Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. I'm sorry, no, the Bucs are 7-9, the Panthers are 8-8. And so basically it's a winner take all matchup, except it's not. So if the Panthers win, then they win the division at 9-8. If the Bucs win, then they are in position to win the division. Based on what happens in the Falcons-Saints game, because the Falcons beat the Rams last night, it was a great game, And so if the Falcons also finish at 8-9, which if the Bucs beat the Panthers and the Falcons beat the Saints, then all three teams would be 8-9. And then even if the Bucs win, the Panthers would still win the NFC South. So if the Bucs beat the Panthers on Saturday, the winner of the Saints-Falcons game on Sunday.
Begin that last sentence again.
If the Bucs beat the Panthers on Saturday,
right,
that would mean that the winner of the Saints-Falcons game would determine the NFC South. And it would mean if the Falcons beat the Saints, the Panthers win the division. If the Saints beat the Falcons, the Bucs win the division.
That's if the Buccaneers beat the Panthers on Saturday.
Yeah, if the Panthers beat the Bucs, then the Saints-Falcons game has no impact on the NFC South. And the Bucs have lost 7 of their last 8 games, which is wild. Yeah. So that may be a bridge too far to hope that the Bucs win a game. They lost to the Quinn Ewers-led Dolphins last week. But it would be kind of fun if it came down to it on Sunday and the Saints and the Falcons were having this kind of proxy war to decide who won the NFC South. It would put some eyeballs on that game at the very least, and that would probably be helpful for Tyler Shuck in terms of, I think Tyler Shuck should win the Rookie of the Year award. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finishing the season off with a win over the Falcons, a team that's playing well, they beat the Rams last night, who a lot of people think are a Super Bowl contender, would probably go a long way in that. And it would be cool to get some eyeballs on that game because, you know, Saints-Falcons is always fun. It's going to be two teams who are playing hard. The Falcons don't have a first-round pick, so there's not going to be any thought of tanking. Mm-hmm. The Saints have no interest in tanking for a better pick. So that'll be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it.
But then you look at the standings in the NFC South, and the Saints, if they win, they finish 7-10. It's hard not to be optimistic heading into next year, right?
I mean, there's a scenario where every team in the NFC South has either 7 or 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. You know, because if the Bucs beat the Panthers, both teams will be 8-9. If the Saints beat the Falcons, both teams will be 7-10. So, you know, those are the games you need to win, too. I mean, like, say what you want about a fourth-place schedule versus second-place schedule, which is, you know, that would obviously be a difference maker in terms of, you know, how difficult the schedule is next year. But at the end of the day, when you play in the NFC South, you got to beat the teams in the NFC South. And beating the Falcons, not getting swept by the Falcons, means a lot more to me than maybe picking 8th instead of 10th
right.
at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So
when it comes to the Saints next year and addressing – well, no, let me take a step back because I wanted to ask you the Kellen Moore question first. I was looking at the clock. Compare Kellen Moore today and what you saw Sunday to the Kellen Moore in Week 1 against the Cardinals.
You know, I think I don't know what the difference is in the sense that I think one of his best qualities is that he is consistent, is that you don't get these highs and lows. Mm-hmm. You know, his messaging stays very consistent. He's a believable guy. He's not playing a character. And I think that's really resonated throughout the course of this season. So I don't know. I don't know what I could point to and say, oh, he's very different here than he was here. I think he's a little bit more comfortable, which is just kind of natural. And if anyone who's taken a new job, that first kind of 6 months, you're kind of finding your way. I think that's probably part of it, is he's just a little bit more comfortable in his skin than maybe he was at the beginning of the year. But from a coaching perspective, I don't know how much has changed. I think he's taken the reins off the offense a little bit and kind of handed the keys to Tyler Shuck and said, I trust you. Like, let's do what we need to do. And the offense has opened up a little bit. But, I mean, beyond that, I don't know exactly how different he is as a coach. And I think that alone is a positive because you don't want a head coach that's hot and cold, that's, right. you know, that's a different person when you're winning than you are when you're losing. And I don't think we've seen that. And I think I say that as a very positive thing about the guy.
It seems like the team's definitely buying in. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, 100%. And I said this when they were 2-8, right? Like, that's one of the most telling things about this group is, you know, they're all bought in. They're all saying, hey, we're doing things the right way. We believe in our process and it's going to come. And I think that's what has made this winning streak so gratifying and satisfying to watch is that, you know, I believe you now because the results showed it. You know, until the results come, it's really hard to take that seriously. But you know, like that's the proof is in the pudding.
Surrender the results to the process, right?
Right.
All right, Jeff. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You think they win Sunday?
It's good. You know, after watching the Falcons last night, I'm not so sure, but it's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, like I said, you know, Tyler hasn't had a ton of real tests to this stage. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be one of them.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
You as well. Thanks.
Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. We're going to come back, talk about fire safety. It's 9:36 traffic, WWL.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.